Matthew chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 12. Matthew 4, verse 12, it says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.'" And I pray that might happen to us today. When they saw Christ, the scripture was fulfilled that they would see light. And what that means is they saw God. That's what it means. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And that's how it is for all of God's people. When they see Christ, they see God. When they truly have Christ revealed to them, they see God. And when they see God, they see light. As long as men and women only see religion, as long as they only see religion, all they will ever see is darkness. The Word of God is telling us that men and women right now are sitting in darkness. Sitting in darkness. Religion is darkness. It is utter, utter darkness. They are sitting in darkness. But if a man or a woman ever sees Christ, if the Lord blocks the view of religion, and a person ever sees Christ, that person will see the light of God. That person will see the light of truth. That person will see the light of the Word. And that light will reveal everything to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That person will see the light of salvation. Verse 16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Christ came. And I pray Christ will come right inside this building today. I pray that we will not just sit here in darkness. I pray to those of us who sit by nature in the flesh in darkness, I pray Christ will come. I pray light will come and light will spring up. Verse 17 says, "And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That's what he said. He came to those who sat in darkness. And from that time, he preached to them, "Repent." Light came. Truth came. God came. And he said to them that were in darkness, this is what he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, about a month ago, we had a message on this very subject of repentance. And the reason we did is because at the beginning of chapter 3, it says that that was the message of John the Baptist. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In that message, we saw what the word repent means. That was the point of that message. What does repent mean? It means have a changed mind. this particular word repentance. There are about five different definitions of repentance as it's used throughout the scripture. This one means have a changed mind. Now, think about this. Think about this. Any man who has to preach ought to think about this. And any man or woman who gets the opportunity to witness ought to think about this. This was John the Baptist's message. When he came to people, this was what he did. This is what he said. Have a changed mind. That's what he was saying to people. Have a changed mind. That was the Lord's message when he came. That was the apostle's message. You think about the apostle Paul at Mars Hill, all those idols, one to the unknown God. He said, you see that one right there? You need to have a changed mind about all this. That is the message of every true God-called preacher. He comes to men and women who in their flesh, by nature, they can't help it. They're born this way. They're sitting in darkness, and the true preacher with the true message by the true Spirit of God comes and says, it's time to have a changed mind. That's our message. This way that you thought God was, we need to have a changed mind on it. Everything that you thought about yourself and you're standing before God, it's time to have a changed mind on it. Everything you thought about salvation, I mean everything, when the truth comes, when light comes, when God comes, he wipes it all out. He wipes all of that darkness out. Like if you were looking at something in total darkness and you shine the light on it, all that darkness is gone. It's time to have a changed mind on it. A changed mind on what holiness is. A changed mind on what sin is. A changed mind on what salvation is. That's the message of light. That's what men and women see, and that's what they experience when God brings light to them. Now, I pray God will bring light to us this morning. I pray he will give us a holy, as the scripture puts it, godly, changed mind. A mind of truth and light, as opposed to the mind of error and darkness that we naturally see in the flesh. And here's how I pray he will bring it to us. May God reveal to us right now what salvation is. Now, let me just be candid with you. I started late this morning. I wanted to start on time because I need to say this, and I'm going to try to get through this. But it's going to take the Spirit helping us to really focus on this. And if any of us are sitting here in darkness, may light come. If any of us have the old mind, I'm just talking about those of us who have heard this before, may we be reminded of it. And if we've never heard this, may God open our mind to it. This is, when light comes, it can be a little bit shocking. And it can be a little bit shocking. All right? So may the Lord help us. May he really help us. We're going to start with this question. What does mankind, men and women, what does man naturally think salvation is? What does man naturally think salvation is? What does the world, and I mean the religious world, most every denomination and form of religion, no matter what country it comes from, what does mankind naturally think salvation is? Here's the answer. Morality. Mankind thinks salvation is in morality. Doing good. Being good. The message of our Lord and the message of his word is, it's time to have a changed mind on that. It's time to have a changed mind on that. Turn with me to John 14. John 14, verse 15. Our Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, let me say, I, Gabe Stonecker, desire morality. I want to be so clear on this. This is so important. This is so important. I want to be so clear. I desire morality. I want to do what is good and what is right by the laws of the land, by the conscience that God has given to us. I find myself in the same boat that the Apostle Paul was in Romans 7. I'm in the same boat with him, which is every time I try to do good, evil is present with me, to the point that I can't do the good things that I want to do because I can't stop doing the evil things that I don't want to do. But whether I have the ability to actually, in my flesh, do it or not, I desire morality. I do. I desire it. I want to do good, and I wish I did good. I wish I did good. One day, when the presence of this sin is removed from me, I will. One day I will. I will be satisfied at that moment. That's what David said. I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The sinless likeness of Christ. But right now I'm in my likeness. I'm walking around in my likeness. And my sinful flesh is constantly fighting against everything that is moral and good. Even so, I desire morality. I'm not against morality. I am not against morality. I love my Lord. I cringe as I say that, but I love my Lord. I do. I love Him, therefore I desire to keep His commandments. But thank God, thank God. He did not say right here in verse 15, if you want to be saved, keep my commandments. Thank God He didn't say that. If you want to be saved, obey my holy and moral law. If you want to be saved, do that. Thank God He did not say that. Because if He did, none of us would be saved. Because none of us have ever kept His holy commandments. Not in word, deed, thought, heart. You know, a man thinks, well, I've never committed adultery. Oh, yes, you have. I hate to admit that, but that's the truth. Never, never have we kept His commandments. Now, I desire and I encourage good morality, but is morality salvation? Here's the answer. No. No, it's not. Every false doctrine and every wrong thought concerning salvation stems from thinking that somehow salvation comes to a person through their morality. Some people, you have all these different forms and doctrines, some people put morality in the beginning of salvation. They attach it to the beginning of salvation. And some people attach it to the end of salvation. But they have to attach it somewhere because they can't fathom a salvation that has nothing to do with their good works. They cannot fathom a salvation. Their question is, well, I understand all that, but how does my morality play a role? I understand what you're saying, but when does my morality come in? Where should I place my good works? I love and I desire good morality, but is morality salvation? Does my morality play a role in my salvation? No, it does not. No, it does not. We need to have a changed mind on this. Go with me to John 8. John 8, verse 1, it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, what did morality have to do with her salvation in that moment? And what did morality have to do with their condemnation in that moment? Here's the answer. Nothing. Their goodness on that one incident, it didn't save them. And her wickedness didn't damn her. What did morality have to do with it? Turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. The Pharisee was the good church-going man, and the publican was the sinner in the bar. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even as this publican who was a man of the mafia. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, the sinner, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. I'm an extortioner. I'm unjust. I am an adulterer. I don't fast. I don't give anything to you. Verse 14, I tell you, this man, the sinner, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What did morality do for that Pharisee? Nothing. What did immorality ruin for that publican? Nothing. Now, I want to be very clear on this. If a person hears this and says, great, great. If that's the case, then I can dive as deep into sin as I want to. Great, excellent. If it doesn't matter anyway, that gives me a license to rebel against God all I want to. If a person says that, that person does not love Christ. That person does not love Christ. If a man or a woman wants to use this truth to rebel as an excuse to rebel and sin against God, poor man or woman, he or she does not love Christ. A man or a woman who loves Christ will cry, "God forbid." That's what the publican was crying, smiting upon his breast, "God forbid, I'm a sinner against you." That's what a person who loves Christ will do. He will say, "I hate my immorality that I see in myself. I hate it. But thank God, according to your word, my immorality will not keep me away from Christ. Thank God, I hate the immorality that I see in myself. But thank God, morality is not salvation. If I could change it, I would, but I can't. Thank God, morality is not salvation. This is the changed mind that all of us need to receive. What is it that truly saves a sinner? Morality is not it. What is it that truly saves a sinner? It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the righteous life of the Lord Jesus Christ that earned our morality for us. If you want to look at morality, look at Christ. Don't look at me. Don't look at you. And it's the holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covered all of our immorality. If you want to know what the blood of Jesus Christ did, when he poured it on us, it just drenched and covered all of our immorality. Thank God. What we've done in the flesh, it sure hasn't earned salvation for us. Not at all. But it also hasn't ruined salvation for us. Every bit of our salvation has everything to do with the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a amazing thought, and this is true. Our self-righteousness will keep us away from Christ every time, but our sin never will. Never will. Turn with me to Romans 3. I'll be quick here. Go to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 10. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Morality cannot play a role in our salvation because there is none moral. Not really. Not really. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, "You're just whited sepulchers. You look so good on the outside," but he said, "on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones." Verse 23 right here says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, then how are men and women saved? How are they saved then? They're saved, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Now watch verse 28. This will bring light. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, by looking to Christ, looking to His righteousness, and looking to His blood. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. That means we're not saved by our morality. That's what it means. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. We love Christ our Savior too much for that, to just willingly desire to those who have been saved by Him, washed by Him, and redeemed by Him. They don't have a heart to rebel against Him. They do rebel against Him in their flesh, but it grieves them. They cry, God forbid. This right here, this is the light. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 1, it says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. This is the light. If we want light to spring up, may God cause us to see this. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the changed mind. That's that new mind. That's repentance. That is repentance. The old man says, the old mind says, I got to stop sinning. I got to straighten up. I got to go back to all those people I messed up and apologize. I got to this. I got to that. When repentance comes, that new mind, that changed mind says, my own morality is not my hope before God. My morality, I want to do some good things. I do. I want to be right by my neighbor. I want to love my brethren. I do. But my own morality is not my hope before God. I cannot stand before Him. When I get to His presence and stand before the judgment throne, and the question is, what gives you the right to walk in? I cannot say, well, I did this and I did that. And I can't do it. That's not my hope before God. Christ is. Why should I let you in? Jesus Christ. That's all I have. His morality that He earned for me and gave to me. That's my hope before God. And although I grieve over what I am, I do. I do. Though I grieve over the fact that I do not see the good morality in me that I wish I saw and I want so badly to see. Thank God what I see in here has nothing to do with my salvation. It just doesn't. His righteousness, His blood, that's my salvation. That's my hope before God. And I'm so thankful to Him for it. I'm so thankful for His righteousness. And I'm so thankful for His blood. It makes me want to be as moral as I can possibly be. With all the ability that He gives me, it makes me want to be as good and as like Him as I can possibly be in this sinful, wicked flesh. Out of love, I want to obey Him. I want to obey His commandments. I don't perfectly, but I want to. I want to strive to do the things that are pleasing to Him. If He said, this is pleasing to me, I want to try to do it. Because I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful. And all along, all in the process, I don't want to lose my changed mind. I don't want to ever resort back to the bondage of my works. I don't want to do that. I just don't. That's repentance. May the Lord grant repentance. let's repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's time. Brethren, it's time. Let's repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I thought about that Gadarene man. I pray the Lord will do that for us. I pray he'll sit us down, clothe us, and put us in our right mind. All right, you're dismissed.